Welcome back. Marie Osborne in for Tom Jordan. I'm Kevin Dietz. The Trump case is underway. Wow, Marie, a former president charged with a
crime.
Hard
to believe.
I was just the idea of a jury selection and now opening statements. The defense is up now. Earlier, the prosecution told the jury the case is about a criminal conspiracy and cover-up as they outlined Trump's alleged role in the hush money payment to adult star, film star Stormy Daniels. I just didn't think we'd ever get to a point where this would happen. Not that I didn't think presidents couldn't commit crimes or anything. I just never thought we'd do anything about it if they did.
Right. And all the ramifications of this trial. Let's start with, we're in a presidential election year, and you have one of the candidates who is unable to leave a courtroom under judge's orders. They cannot leave the courtroom
right.
to campaign. I think he's got to be there 4 days a week. I think Fridays he's allowed.
Yeah,
Fridays off.
Over the weekend.
Casual Fridays.
Over the weekend he had a campaign scheduled and they got bad weather. They had to cancel it.
They had to cancel that.
So you'll lose a day there.
So what does that mean to our election process? What does that mean? I mean, I know there's a lot of folks who say that he's right where he belongs, but we have to look at a bigger picture here and decide, what does that really mean to our election process?
Yeah. Let's bring in Todd Flood, attorney at Flood Law. Good morning, Todd. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Marie and I have been handling the show, so we haven't really got a chance to see any of this morning. Have you had a chance to check in on it at all?
I was flying this morning back up to Detroit. I did read a little bit about the opening statements. I agree with you, Kevin. It seems the word that comes to mind is surreal. It's surreal that we're in a moment in time where president for the first time is being criminally charged and a jury trial is actually taking place for something that happened close to 6 years ago. So before he was even president.
Todd, let's take a look too at what's happening in what has happened in the last couple of weeks, and we know will continue. The former president seems to attack the entire legal process at every turn. And he's not afraid to come outside and talk with reporters or in the courthouse and address reporters about this. Would any other defendant be allowed to do that?
Not really, no. I mean, this is an exception, right, to the extent. Although I do think the judge is obviously very stern and is doing the best he can to throw out the contempt charges at Trump, but I mean, those are very, minuscule, $1,000 fine. So I just can't imagine the judge throwing him in jail during the time of the trial on a contempt charge. So, Trump is going to use that. We've talked about it a gazillion times. Trump is going to use this platform as best mm-hmm. he possibly can to be a campaign tool, right? Every day he's in the news, and he's going to use it to, fan the fire of his base.
So how important are opening statements? What's the goal of the opening statement for both the prosecutor and the defense?
I think the goal for the prosecution is to start off kind of, with a wide base and go to neuro details, get to the wide base. What's this case really about? I know they threw out conspiracy and they threw out those big words, but really this is 33 counts of falsifying records and that's going to get down to the details. But the whole thing is to show the coup de grace here for the prosecution. Start off really big. This man tried to manipulate the election in 2016 based on keeping Stormy Daniels mm-hmm. quiet. And how did he do it? He told his attorney, here, pay her $130,000 in cash. I'll give you payments over a period of time. And we'll make that happen. Cohen says he's going to be the star witness, even though he's lied several times before. He's going to be the star witness for the government, and he's going to say, yes, this man told me, President, at the time, not President, but, Mr. Trump told me to do A, B, C, and D. And in doing so, those are all misdemeanors, but doing so, I was doing it to influence a campaign, my campaign, which is the felony. I was doing these misdemeanors for an underlying crime, which bumped it up to a felony. As far as the prosecution or defense goes, if I was the defense, I'd say, This is more about politics than anything else, and let me show you what the evidence is going to show. The evidence is going to show that this gentleman here that sits to my right, President Trump, he relied upon his attorney, he relied upon his accountants, he relied upon his bookkeepers. This is what they put into these, and he got the advice from A, B, C, and D. And go into the detail. This is not about him trying to manipulate anybody, and so that's where you're going to see the two arguments. One's going to get into details. The prosecution's going to get into broad brush and go down to the details, and they'll walk through witnesses and what witnesses will testify. If anything, the number one thing for the rule of thumb here is you better keep these opening statements, I would say, under 50 minutes. I would say under, for certain, under an hour. Don't go on and on and on. This is a simple case. Keep it short, sweet, and, you know, the kid method.
Todd, you have so much courtroom experience, so I was curious about this. You mentioned Michael Cohen. He's the former fixer for President Trump, and he pled guilty to federal crimes and for paying the porn star. We know all that. But what I was curious about was when he gets on the stand, and I'm assuming Stormy Daniels will get on the stand. I'm not sure about that. Maybe you know that or not. How do juries view these people? They come with a lot of baggage, as they say.
Maria, you are dealing with an issue I'm dealing with today. You can believe some, none, or all of the testimony of a witness. You can believe, that's the jury instruction. So if you were sitting in the box of 12, the judge would say to you, you're the Supreme Court of the facts. Well, he's not going to say that. You're the judge of the facts. And the witness gets up on the stand, you can believe some, none, or all of that person's testimony. So, when you get a witness and you get them up on the stand, and, you know, as a prosecution, I, as a prosecutor, always wanted to expose the warts, the flaws, the bad things, and then get to the truth about that witness, with this witness, about, you know, where I can corroborate what he's saying, or it has a ring of truth. As a defense attorney, you have cross-examination. You have two methods that most people can relate to. You impeach the person, and we call that in the defense world putting, you know, small bluegills into the boat, you know, get the Pavlov's dog, you know, you're impeaching them on a regular basis. Or you get the aha moment where you can impeach him and show that he's a liar, and that's the big mouth bass that you put into the boat. That's the scheme.
Can they convict on just the misdemeanor, or is it all or nothing on the felony?
You know, right now it's on the felony. I got to believe there's a 6-year statute of limitations issue with the misdemeanor, and the fact of the matter is they've charged him at this with the felony. If you in New York, if you ask for the lesser offense, you've then vacated your right to an appeal on a statute of limitations issue. Mm. So, if the defense goes with this lesser included offense for the misdemeanors, that's what I'd be arguing. To be candid, that's a great question. I'd just say these are all misdemeanors.
Appreciate it.
If it had anything.
We're up against the clock. Todd Flood, attorney of Flood Law, thanks so much. Appreciate it. We'll be talking to you more on this.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
All right, your calls are next. 1-800-859-0-WJR.